Good morning, this is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 21. The Reverend Sean Danzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Mark, the 10th chapter. And as Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you show yourself pure. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem torturous. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. This word of the Lord from David's pen proves true in Jesus' many exchanges with his opponents throughout his ministry. Those who come to faith and come with faith find him, but those who challenge him are challenged back. Jesus knows what is in the heart of man. He not only deduces it through truthful or deceptive words as we do, nor does he only know what the Bible says about our desperately wicked hearts. Jesus judges and pierces to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. With Nicodemus, first he was short, then he was lofty, and then he was scolding of the teacher of Israel who understood none of the things that Jesus was teaching. And with this rich man, who's described in Luke's gospel as a ruler, Jesus answers question with question. With the froward, he shows himself froward. The man's question is crooked and froward to begin with. Nothing can be done to inherit. Inheritance depends first on birth and then on death. You cannot choose to be born of royalty. You would need to be born again. That's impossible. Likewise, another person must die so that you may inherit. But Jesus' question is even more tortuous. "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Here, Jesus calls out this man's flattery and his dishonesty. Many a pastor has had this experience, usually I think at wedding receptions or out in bars, when a person who is estranged from the church and its worship comes over to you, strikes up a casual conversation with the local preacher man. They flatter, perhaps. But they are not coming over to become a member of your flock. The aim of their conversation is always the same thing: to finally come up and say, "We're good." Now, we have the impression that this rich man was not a rapscallion like that. Maybe he was even an upstanding religious ruler. But the point still stands. Certainly, the man had said this thing to Jesus because he believed himself to be good, someone who could talk with a good teacher. He was not taking heed lest he fall. He was not saying, like St. Paul does, I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. This man was looking only for an affirmation. Christians are different. Christians are always prepared to consider our places in life according to the Ten Commandments, not only to find out what we must do, but also to see at the same time the many ways in which we are not good and have not been good. We are not gods. We are not earners of eternal life by what we do. The Lord saves a humble people, but the haughty eyes he brings down. The self-centered heart of man always leads him to strike up that self-justifying conversation, if only with himself. And that twisted conversation always needs to be met with a twist. That twist is to lead that person away from comparison, which is deceiving, and back to the Word of God, which sets the conscience right. Even if you are a good teacher, no amount of comparison or competition will win the day. The Lord's truth holds sway, not just over the people who come up to you, but over you as well, over all of us. It exposes our failures, which usually lie beneath the surface level reading of these commandments. And it especially exposes our false gods, whether they be our possessions and money, whether they be power and influence or pleasures or fame or our comfort. We see that happen in particular when Jesus gives this specific command to this rich man. What you lack can only be found and bought by selling everything that you have and giving it away. And behold, with this man, it was impossible. Now, for Jesus, of course, there is a far greater twist in this conversation. The flattery was more than just audacious disrespect for a local pastor. Why indeed call Jesus good if only God is good? Well, is Jesus not God indeed? Of course he is. And if so, is it not serious rather than a casual conversation? Is this not a conversation actually with the highest of stakes? Because the Lord judges the heart. There is no hiding or flattering before him. There certainly is no room for the attitude on our own terms that says, yeah, me and God, we're good. Now, dear Christians, we are given this ridiculous and very sad example in the scriptures so that we would consider just how easily we also flatter God with our lip service, and how easily we treat him casually in our thoughts and in our actions. A casual encounter with our God in a prayer, in a thought, maybe in a chapel service, even in a conversation with one of his ministers, that casual encounter could wreck you. That's exactly what happened to this man. So be warned that the haughty, unbelieving spirit is not only present in the rich and in the powerful, but also in the stubborn, also in the self-sufficient, also in the hardworking, also in the popular and the friendly, in every sinful heart, in yours and mine. The Bible teaches us countless ways about our sinful nature, but sometimes it takes an example and some self-reflection in order to recognize it in myself. And then still it says here that Jesus loved him in all of this. Now the Lord, for his part, would humble us under the mighty hand of God, but always so that at the proper time he may exalt us. His word is equal to the task. It is equal even to our frowardness with him and with ourselves. To bring us to the brink of despair like this man, and then to show us indeed that with man it is always impossible. And yet with God alone there is hope. He calls us to follow him. He calls us to follow him because he really is the only true good, and we may find righteousness for ourselves in his mercy. We may find purification in his forgiveness. We may find in him a treasure that is not deceitful as the riches of this world are, but which lasts forever. Only in Jesus Christ is it possible by his doing. On his terms, that's how we may hope to inherit. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.